Well, I wonder if you recognize this picture, or this one, or this one. Does anyone recognize it? Shout out, which book is it from?
Where's Wally?
That's right. It tells you a lot about your age, doesn't it? Where's Wally? Wearing his red and white jumper, he is somewhere in that picture. Can you find him? He's somewhere there. Where is he? Where is he? Well, Wally is always in the picture, and you can keep looking and see if you can find him, but he is in that picture, I promise. He sometimes is up a tree, sometimes he's hiding in the crowd, sometimes he's underwater. The challenge is to find where's Wally, and he's got his distinctive red and white sweater so that you can find him. He's somewhere in the picture, isn't he? Where's Wally? And, you know, adults quite like Wally too, you know. That's why I'm wearing my Wally tie today. Well, today we're thinking about where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Because on Good Friday, we remember that he died on the cross in our place to save us. And it was a very sad day. It was a very sad day. Jesus' friends lay his body in the tomb, and they thought they knew where Jesus was. But on Easter Sunday, when they went to the tomb, it was empty. So we're going to try and answer the question, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And there are seven clues. And the first one is the Spice Girls. On the first day of the week, it says, very early in the morning, the women took some spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. Where's Jesus? Thought the women. He is not here. He is... Well, that was the first clue. The second clue was the rolling stone. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Where's Jesus? He is not here.
He is risen.
And the third clue was the empty tomb. When they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Where's Jesus? They wondered. He is not here. And then there were the glowing angels. The glowing angels. Suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. What do they say? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Where's Jesus? He is not here. And then there were the doubting joggers. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw. What did he see? He is not here.
He is risen.
What did he see? He saw the linen strips that had been around the body of Jesus, but they are lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. He is not here. He is risen. And then finally, the seventh clue, hands and feet. While they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened. "Look at my hands and my feet. If it is I myself, touch me and see." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. So where's Jesus? He is here.
He is risen.
And because he has risen, he is here too. You may not see him, you may not feel him, but he is here by his Spirit. And so there is an eighth clue. The eighth clue are the believers in Jesus, because his Holy Spirit indwells us. One of the promises the risen Lord Jesus makes in the book of Revelation is, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me." So where is Jesus? Is he on the inside or is he on the outside? Are you still searching for Jesus or have you found Jesus? Is he a stranger or is he your Savior? Only you can answer that. At Easter, we remember Jesus died to save us. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life, and by his Spirit, he is with us forever if we receive him as our Lord and Savior. So where is Jesus? Where is he? That was not the end of the story. That was not the end of the story. Because as we read the Acts of the Apostles, we see what happened in the lives of the followers of Jesus after they'd met Jesus. Their lives were turned upside down. How did they respond after they'd met the risen Lord? Well, the first thing was that they couldn't stop telling their friends, their family, their neighbors. Even when their enemies said, shut up, they wouldn't shut up. They ended up in jail. They came out, they still talked about Jesus. They couldn't stop talking about how he'd saved them, how he'd died on the cross in their place, how he'd risen from the dead. They were following the teaching of Jesus. They were following the example of Jesus in daily life. And they bore personal witness to him. This is just one example from Acts chapter 2. Peter said, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, the man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So where is Jesus? If you feel he's on the outside and you want him on the inside, if he's a stranger and you want him to be your Savior, then repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? As more and more people repented and believed and were baptized, their lives were changed too. And how do we know their lives were changed? Well, we know that they joined together constantly in prayer. They met together to pray and to encourage each other. What else did they do? They read the scriptures diligently. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. What else did they do? They took communion regularly. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They took communion together. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. What else did they do? Well, they gave personal service to church, neighbors, and community. They gave money to the work of the church. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, enjoying the favor of all the people. That's how their lives were changed. Those were the hallmarks of the early followers of Jesus. And you know what? They are the hallmarks of what it means to be a Christian today. Over 50 years ago, the Church of England produced a little leaflet, and you should have got one when you came in today, that summarizes what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And all of the affirmations on it are found in the Acts of the Apostles. They are the hallmarks of the followers of Jesus. They encapsulate how the first disciples expressed their personal and their corporate faith in the risen Lord Jesus. You know, on Maundy Thursday, all of the clergy in the diocese met at Guildford Cathedral, and we reaffirmed our commitment to Jesus and to offer ourselves anew to serve him as clergy. And on Easter Sunday, traditionally, we invite you to reaffirm your baptismal vows and to follow Christ the year ahead. if you remember, in the baptism service, we say, I turn to Christ, I repent of my sin, I renounce evil. Well, what does that mean? It means these affirmations. That's what it looks like in the flesh to be a Christ follower. Specifically, we affirm our commitment to protect the unity of the church, to look after each other, to care for each other, to share responsibility for our church. It's our church. To serve the ministry of our church, where everyone is serving in some way. Supporting the witness of our church, maybe taking Connection Magazine to the community so others can hear about Jesus. And cooperating with the leaders in fulfilling the vision of the church. That's why our annual church meeting is so important in 2 weeks' time. Why making sure your name is on the membership list, our electoral roll, and why we're asking you to be praying about who you would nominate to become one of our church leaders for the years ahead. So today, we're going to invite you to reaffirm your commitment to Christ and His church. And I'm going to reaffirm my membership of Christ Church, and I invite you to do so as well, silently or audibly. And if you haven't got a copy, you might just be able to read the words on there. By God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, I will endeavor to follow the example of Christ in home and daily life and to bear personal witness to Him, to be regular in private prayer day by day, to read the Bible carefully, to come to church every Sunday, to receive the Holy Communion faithfully and regularly, to give personal service to church, neighbors, and community, to give money for the work of parish and diocese and for the work of the church at home and overseas, to uphold the standard of marriage entrusted by Christ to His church, to care that children are brought up to love and serve the Lord. By God's grace, this is my desire as I seek to serve God as part of Christ Church family. Amen. And you'll notice at the beginning and the end we said by God's grace, because this isn't a set of rules, it isn't a set of laws, it's an aspiration, an affirmation. By God's grace, with God's help, by His Holy Spirit, this is how I want to be known as a Christ follower. And if that's the first time you've said that affirmation, I invite you to sign it and date it and keep it in your Bible as a reminder that you are an Anglican. But more importantly, you are a Christ follower. And on the back are some Bible readings that might help you make more sense of what the affirmations mean. And make sure that you're on the electoral roll too, because that is our membership list. Because He is risen. He is here.
He is risen.
Let's say it again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.